Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
10 to 6 the time, Friday evening. Tom Swarbrick on LBC means a chance to revel in all things Americana. The good, the bad, and the completely bonkers. With Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, let's begin with the major news of the day and then work our way back to find out how we got here. As America's breakfast shows clattered onto the air this morning, the Israelis had just made a stunning admission.
Right now on Morning News Now, the IDF is admitting serious failures and is dismissing some of the officers involved in the airstrike that killed 7 aid workers in Gaza.
Israel is dismissing 2 officers who were involved in that strike.
The military says there were 3 failures. They are a breakdown of communications, misidentification of targets, and also a breach of protocol.
NBC and Scripps News there with the news that after 48 hours of investigations, Israel was confirming that Monday's devastating killing of 7 employees of World Central Kitchen, men and women trying to alleviate starvation in Gaza, was an avoidable tragedy. It's a serious event. We're responsible for it, and it shouldn't have happened, said Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari of the Israel Defense Force. That will come as no comfort to the families of the dead, who included 3 British nationals and 1 citizen of Canada and the US. His name, Jacob Flickinger, his partner, Sandy Leclerc.
He was a part of me, and he's such a loving father to his son. And I don't know how I will explain that to him, that he is now gone.
She spoke to ABC News. In the days since that appalling assault on the convoy carrying her partner, the pace at which anger has mounted in Washington might even have eclipsed the fury in London and other world capitals. And that is due in large measure to one man, Chef Jose Andres. He is the Spanish-born founder of World Central Kitchen, and he is also one of Washington's most prominent residents. And as anyone who has met him or worked with him will tell you, and in full disclosure, I have occasionally done both, he is not a man to be messed with.
They were targeted systematically, car by car. And this happened over more than 1.5, 1.8 kilometers. So this was not just a bad luck situation where, oops, we dropped the bomb in the wrong place or no, we were targeted deliberately, nonstop, until everybody was dead in this convoy.
He spoke there to Reuters just hours after he had spoken to President Joe Biden. And the thing you need to know about Jose Andres is not just that he's a celebrity chef who has spent the last 3 decades building one of Washington's most successful hospitality empires. He's also a proven humanitarian with $100 million of Amazon founder Jeff Bezos's money supercharging his World Central Kitchen NGO. He has cultivated relationships with senior Democrats, including former President Barack Obama and Joe Biden. He has engaged in a long-running feud with former President Donald Trump. He has worked in hellscapes all over the world, trying to bring healthy, nutritious food to the starving. And while in this next clip he was talking to CNN, you can safely bet that he had just delivered the same message, perhaps in stronger terms, to his friend, the President of the United States.
This is a war against humanity itself. You cannot be destroying every building. You cannot be destroying every hospital, every school. You cannot be targeting children. You cannot be fighting the basis of what humanity should be standing for.
Now, just to take a beat here, speaking as a man who has locked horns with Jose Andres in a television edit room where he and I had a vigorous disagreement over something called the drizzle cam, let's just say an unusual camera shot of olive oil being poured into a saucepan, I can testify to how strongly he holds his ground. It did not come as a surprise to me at all that after his phone call with Biden, suddenly the White House was changing its tune. Let's go back to Tuesday when Washington was still digesting the news of the attack. Then White House National Security spokesman John Kirby got irritated when a reporter wondered whether it might lead to a rethink in the plan to flow billions of dollars of fresh weapons in Benjamin Netanyahu's direction.
Is there no red line?
You know, we've had this discussion, you and me, quite a bit from up here. They're still under a viable threat of Hamas. We're still going to make sure that they can defend themselves and that 7th of October doesn't happen again. That doesn't mean that it's a free pass.
Except as that briefing continued, it became clear that it was a bit of a free pass. CBS News White House correspondent Wei Jiang pushed the admiral to explain what the US would do beyond telling the Israelis to sharpen the precision of their bombing raids.
The idea that we're some plaster graveyard here and we're not paying attention to the civilian casualties or the civilian suffering is just not true.
Right, but these are verbal urgings.
You want us to hang some sort of condition over their neck. And what I'm telling you is that we continue to work with the Israelis to make sure that they are as precise as they can be and that more aid's getting in, and we're going to continue to take that approach.
Within hours, that position was no longer tenable, partly due to the pressure mounting on the president from Chef Jose Andres and the humanitarian aid community, and also, we now know, partly due to First Lady Jill Biden. The president on Tuesday night told Muslim community leaders during a meeting at the White House that she had told him to get the Israeli leader to knock it off in Gaza. Stop it now, were the words he attributed to her. On Thursday, the president acted.
President Biden spoke a short while ago with Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking in Brussels.
He made clear the need for Israel to announce a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps.
Now, you will notice there that the Secretary of State said that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza hinged on Netanyahu making changes. That's different from saying U.S. policy with respect to Israel, because the White House argues that the $18 billion worth of F-15 fighter jets that Biden still wants to send to Israel will not be used in Gaza, but to protect Israel from Hezbollah and the Iranians. So it didn't seem that the conditions placed on the Israeli Prime Minister went very far. But back at the White House podium, Admiral Kirby said the president was not giving the Prime Minister the luxury of time to respond.
How much time are you giving them?
We would hope to see some announcements of changes here in coming hours and days, and I'll leave it at that.
That's short.
Hours and days.
He looked yesterday like a man whose reputation has been dragged through the ringer. But that, of course, is because it's Joe Biden whose standing continues to be so badly damaged by his own handling of the crisis in Gaza. This week, fresh polling indicated that Donald Trump remains ahead of the president in six of the crucial seven battleground states where this November's election will be decided. Arab American voters, left-wing progressive voters, and young voters in particular have bailed on Biden as chants of Genocide Joe continue to dog his footsteps. But the aforementioned First Lady still thinks he can win. You can hear her own steely determination in this interaction on CBS earlier this week.
He's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So, you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
Obvious is definitely overstating it. And the president still faces mountains of opposition to the idea that he may continue providing Israel with weapons despite Netanyahu's agreement last night to open additional corridors for humanitarian aid to reach Gaza. We learnt this week that dozens, maybe more than dozens, of weapons shipments have been sent to Israel without public disclosure. The Biden administration taking quiet advantage of rules that allow batches of weapons worth up to $100 million to walk out the door without congressional approval. Biden might think he found a bit of spine this week to confront the Israeli leader, but many American voters, Tom, will justifiably wonder why on earth it's taken him so long.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.